Chapter 6 of 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 6, 1 Samuel. And we will start. Consider yourself at the bottom of Niagara Falls, and you are trying to put all the water coming down from the Niagara Falls in the 5-gallon bucket. Ain't going to happen, right? That is what the Philistines were trying to do against God. They're trying to, I guess, test God at the same time, fight against God. It's not just Philistines. Rest of us is the same way, one way or another. In last chapter 4 and 5, we found the Philistines who captured the Ark of God were enjoying their victory over the God of Israel. At least that's what they thought. And they brought the Ark of Covenant into the house of Dagon, their God. Dagon, if you remember what I said, is a half fish head with a human body. I don't know how that looks, but interesting combination. Mermaid? Is that what it is? Yeah, I guess so. More men. Okay. Slow down, James. But what happened to that Dagon God? He was fall flat on his face. Next day, they prop him up again, and following day, his head was off, and hands and feet were off. Only torso was remain. And from then on, they don't step on threshold. It's a kind of tradition. And then not only that, they started having a problem in the behind, their hind problem. They are having a tumor, and they're having a lot of rat and diseases passing, going around, and people are dying. So they assume that Dagon God is no longer in power like they thought. And Israelis realized that when they lost the Ark of Covenant, they thought the glory of God left. And it was true. Which is the one who didn't understand God? Israelis or Philistines? Both, yeah. They both underestimated God, who created heaven and earth and everything in between, including their own lives. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 6, and we will pray. Father, we thank you for you allowing us to be in your house, to hear from you, not from men. The author, Holy Spirit, will speak to us. Open our heart, anoint our heart, that we may hear from you alone. Understand your ways, wisdom, with the wisdom that comes from you alone. Father, we're asking you to anoint the one who speaks. Father, we know that we are living in this dying, decaying world. Without you, we would be one of them. But for some reason, in your infinite wisdom and unmatched glory and undying love, you extend your grace toward us that we may have eternal life and hope. Father, we thank you. Speak to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Verse 1. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of Philistines 7 months. Would you note that, please? How long?
7 months.
Okay. And the Philistine called the priest and the diviners. They were saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. So they said, that is the diviner and the priest, said, if you send away the ark of God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed. It will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is a trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the numbers of the lords of Philistines. For the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. Therefore you shall make images of your tumors, an image of your rats that ravages land, and you shall give the glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you and from your gods, and from your land. Why then do you harden your heart as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart? Stop there, please. Okay, you guys study this, right? Interpretation time. Who can give me an interpretation? Are you guys sleepy? My wife is so smart, Alec. Yes. Excellent. Anyone else? Interpretation, not observation. Come on, Manny, speak up. Any other time you were talking? Not tonight? Patsy. Huh? Okay. Let me ask you a question. What we started with, how long did they keep the Ark of Covenant? For during that time, was the hand of the Lord upon them? Heavily, right? People were dying, people were sick, because the rats are spreading the disease, and they cannot sit, they cannot lie down, and they're in trouble. So what did take them to come to this point for 7 months? Why did they do that? To avoid? Okay. Yeah. Pat said the right thing. Stubborn. They did not want to give up because it's a wonderful trophy. Remember, this is they don't know that God does not exist in the ark, because their God is actually tangibly seen. But the God of Israel is just Ark of a Covenant, is nothing more than presence, it's nothing more than place where God would meet people. They don't understand the God of Israel because they cannot comprehend the level of Him, because their level of God is in the human level. Somewhat. Who says? Yeah. You are running ahead, but you are right. I'm glad you are running ahead. Yeah, they knew. Okay, let me put it this way. So, because they were reluctant to give up such a wonderful trophy, they did not let go. It's a pride issue, at the same time, ignorance issue. And they tried every possible way to beat the hand of God, but obviously they could not. Sinners, huh? Yes, they want to do their own effort. Sinners lengthen out their own miseries by stubbornly refusing to part with their sins. It can take a long time before we realize the futility of resisting God. Have we ever done that before? Instead of simply repenting and submitting to God, we often do anything and everything we can, make our own results, which bring ourselves down deeper into trouble. Am I making sense? Specific offering recognized it's the Lord who brought the plague upon the Philistine. And Philistine admit that God of Israel has jurisdiction over them, and He has a power over them and their own God. And they are now confessing that God is the Almighty God. I wouldn't say the mighty God, because they remember they believe in they're in the polytheistic world. These Philistine people have learned that valuable hindsight from is Egyptians, because they are hind problem. Yes, pun intended. Egyptians had a problem for 10 plagues. And interesting about that, I think I mentioned this. When I was a baby Christian, I was reading through the Bible, and I came across the phrase, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I could not figure it out. Why God would harden his heart and punish him? Because of my ignorance, because of my immaturity in the Lord, I thought maybe God is a sadistic God. I did not know. I had just enough wisdom to say, okay, since I don't understand, I'm going to put this away. And you explain to me when you're ready. Of course, he did. God was not hardening his heart. No, I take it back. Yes and no. He was now purposely hardening his heart. God was acknowledging the hardened heart of Pharaoh's, and he was confirming. Am I making sense? So if we choose to ignore God, and if we want to continue our destructive path, God, who knows all things, acknowledge it and let it go. That means we can go into a really destructive path and get ourselves in trouble. It is always a great thing to have hindsight. The past is something we cannot do anything about it. We cannot change anything, but we can learn from our past. Jorge Santayana, who was a Spaniard, did I pronounce it correctly?
Yes.
Good enough. Yeah. Spaniard, a philosopher, atheist, and poet, and novelist, said once, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And this is the case in point. Philistine, the diviners, were advising their people to use the brain, not so that they don't have to go through more problems than already had. Though they were willing to, they were telling other Philistines not to harden their heart against God, but they were not considering worshiping this mighty God. We are often like them, and our hearts get hardened because of the sins of our heart, yet we talk about God and His forgiveness. Hardness of heart is a terrible thing for any Christians. We should have a soft heart to receive His instruction for our lives. Let me make an example. A pastor whom I knew went into pornography heavily, and he would stand behind the pulpit and talk against the immorality, as if he's not one of them. Another pastor, also a friend of mine, he was committing adultery. To justify his sinful behavior, he talked about grace of God that covers all sins, and he lost many, many people from his congregation. But he still didn't get that message from the Lord. Hosea chapter 10, please, verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow for yourself the righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rain righteousness on you. That's a wonderful verse to memorize, don't you think? I love the way it says, sow yourself the righteousness, reap in mercy. Back to 1 Samuel, please. Now, therefore, make a new cart. Take two milk cows. Note that, please. Milk cows. Which have never been yoked. And hitch the cows to the cart. And take the calves home. Away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart. And put the article of gold which was you were returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Note that, please. Chest, a chest by its side. What side? Side of the ark?
Yes.
Okay. Then send it away. Let it go. And watch. If it goes up the Lord, goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Note that, please. By chance. Then men did so. They took two milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rat and the image of their tumors. Then the cow headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn to the right hand or the left. And the Lord of the Philistine went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Stop there. Okay, time for interpretation again. Okay, good. Okay? No sense in wasting gold stuff, right? Who else? Yes, sir. Okay, very good. They're all good. Here, Philistine conducting experiment because they are not positively sure about this God of Israel. And they thought that all calamity of the plague has been from the Lord, but they are not sure 100%. So they devised a test. And after all, no need to repent their perfectly bad sin when they don't have to, right? So they made a test. Test is simple. And odds stack highly against God. Number one, this milk cow never yoked. That means if somebody put the yoke on, they're not going to like it. And number two, they don't know how to pull the cart. They never pulled the cart before. And there's no driver. And this milk cow, maternal instinct, will go after their babies. And they don't know where to go. Without the driver, most likely cows would stand still, not going anywhere. But what did they do? They went straight to the Beth-Shemesh on the highway, shortest distance. In other words, God's sovereignty working on this thing. Isn't it funny, rather funny, that animal obeys better than human? Some of you remember this, as one of you mentioned, Uzzah, he got killed by God by touching the Ark of God. That comes from the 2 Samuel chapter 6. They were transporting Ark of God from the person's home to the city of David. And as they turned the corner, it lost balance. It was coming off the cart. Uzzah did not have any bad intention. He simply reached out, touched the cart so it does not fall onto the ground. And God struck him dead. Interesting about that is, David got mad at God. At least that's what the text says. It should be translated, David feared the Lord. Anyway, they stopped, they left it there, and didn't bring the ark again. So, why God did not strike these Philistines who touched the ark of God while he struck the Israeli and killed him on the spot? The difference? God never wanted to transport cart by the cart. And he wanted to have it carried by the pole and set in it, and then he mentioned in Numbers 4:15. An ark did not have a handle that you can lift it up directly by your hand. Instead, it was to be carried by the inserting gold overlaid wooden pole, wood pole ends into the golden rings each corner of the ark. And the poles will remain inserted into the rings and to be source of a contact with the ark. Apart from touching the poles, it was forbidden to touch the Ark of Covenant according to Exodus 25, verse 12 through 15. What's the purpose of all this no-touch regulation from God? No, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? Okay? In a way, that's correct. God wants them to realize they cannot just, think that they can be friends with God anytime they want. God was not people's friend until Jesus said so. I no longer call you servant, but I call you my friend. Remember? And from there, we were promoted to the child of God, children of God. Let's talk about these things. Remember, while we were reading there, where was it? Verse 9. And watch, if it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. If not, then we shall know that it is not by not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by what? Okay. Don, the math professor, walked out. Okay. Let me ask you this question. There he is, math professor. Let me quote this thing. A guy named Jacques Monod. He's a French biochemist. He said, chance alone, listen carefully please, chance alone is at the source of every innovation of all creation in biosphere. Pure chance, absolutely free, but blind, at the very root of the stupendous edifice of evolution. Is that correct? According to them. Let me read it again. Listen, please. Chance alone is at the source of every innovation of all creation in the biosphere. Pure chance, absolutely free, but blind, at the very root of stupendous edifice of evolution. In other words, he is giving all the power to chance. Am I correct? All right. So how's that person's life doing? I really doubt that he's doing well. He might have a lot of money. No, I doubt that. Yeah. Assigning such a power to chance is crazy because chance has no power. For example, when a coin is flipped, the chance is that lands at the head is 50%. Am I correct? However, chance does not make it in land heads. Whether it's land heads or tail is due to the strength with which coin is flipped, an amount of air current, and the air pressure that it flies through the air, and when it's cut, if it was flipped over once, then it's cut. Chance doesn't do anything other than describe probability. Am I correct, math teacher? Yeah, so it's depending if you've just flipped gently and only flipped once, you can guess. But if you flip more than several times, you never know how it's going to come out. Nobody can guess that. So in other words, chance is nothing more than description of the statistic probability. When someone says that the universe or anything else came by chance, they are extremely ignorant, superstitious, and just parroting the line they have learned before and have unthinkingly accepted. Chance makes nothing happen. We're living in a cause and effect world, and the chance is not a cause. Our God is the great cause. Am I making sense? Nobody created chance. That's good. I love to converse with the evolutionist people, and I love to ask them where the origin of the evolution. They have no idea, because they are, like I said, it's nothing more than parroting what they heard. God was not leaving this traveling cart by chance. Cow did not wander around. They went straight where they're supposed to go. In other words, since the cows were doing what God wanted, I guess you can call them holy cows, right? Yeah. Hmm? They're all India. They were lowing on the way to Beth Shemesh because they're missing their babies and they don't like the yoke on their back. They cannot take a bite of the grass along the side of the road. And they have to continuously travel and guided by this invisible God of Israel. Go down to verse 13, please. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Then Cart came into the field of Joshua of the Beth Shemesh and stood there. Large stone was there, and they split the wood of the cart and offer the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. Note that, please, the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which were the article of gold, and put them on the large stone. Then the man of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offering and made a sacrifice same day to the Lord. So when the five lords of Philistine had seen it, they returned to the Ekron the same day. These are the golden tumors of which Philistine returned to the trespass offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, and one for Ashkelon, and one for Gath, and one for Ekron. And the golden rat, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistine, belonged to the five lords, and all 45 cities and country villages, even as far as the largest stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remained to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. Okay, interpretation time. You guys did the homework, right? Chapter 7 is the next week, so I want you to read ahead. Prepare for the interpretation, please. Remember what I said. The better you get the interpretation, the better application you will have. I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. And not female. It has to be ox, not cows. Yeah, bulls. I wouldn't go that far. Okay. Philistines were hoping that it was by chance, right? It didn't work out. These cows, as if they knew exactly where to go, and they went. And noticed, God brought Ark of Covenant by himself, without any Delta Force or Navy SEAL intervening. Yeah. Remember what I said last time? When the man do not give a glory to God, then what? God give himself own glory. Right? Case in point. In a strict sense, as a passage, they were sinning against God by going against making an offering against the Lord, against the Mosaic law. Why did he accept it? Number one, what was wrong? They offered a female cows to the Lord, which was forbidden according to Leviticus 1:3 and 22:13. Always bull, always oxen. Second thing, can I change slide? Say when? Second thing, they made a burnt offering to the Lord away from the tabernacle, which violates the command of Deuteronomy 12:5-6. Someone could say the Ark of Covenant is there, since that is Ark of Covenant is there, that is the holiest place, so nothing wrong. Yeah, technically, yes, but the tabernacle is the Lord designation. Yet he knew both their heart and a remarkable circumstance, so he accepted the sacrifice. When I read this, it was that portion, and I was putting this together, and I thought, I remember what the Jesus said. You know how the Pharisees talk about how to observe the Passover or the Sabbath, right? And they made so many regulations that people get strangled. And Jesus said, God is the Lord of Sabbath. People come before the rules and regulations. I believe that the Lord had mercy on them. He didn't strike them dead. He let them live. Because their heart was right, and they want to do giving offering to the Lord. From that, it went south. Verse 19, please. Yes. No, Israeli, in context. Yeah. None of them. Another fact. I didn't. Yeah. Another violation. Hmm. Oh, yeah. Levi's took it. Oh, there he is. Yeah. You're right. Levi's. Yeah. Okay, God is a God of mercy. People say that you don't find the mercy of God in mercy and grace of God in the Old Testament. That means they are not reading the word correctly. Verse 19. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. They struck the 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented, because the Lord has struck the people with a great slaughter. And the man of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent a messenger to the inhabitant of Kiriath-Jearim, and saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. All right. Interpretation. Here's a lot of meat in this thing. If you switch the responsibility to the blessing, it would be even better. That's a good one, but they had such a privilege. But they did it wrong, and they messed it up, and they don't want it anymore. They messed it up. Yeah. They shouldn't know better. Excellent. Okay, one at a time. Way too many voices at the same time. Bill? Okay. Oh. Mikey? Okay. Mr. Gary? You said something. Yep. We noticed that God is dealing with Israelites far more strictly than he did with the Philistine who transported the ark by cart. God did this because the Israelis, like you guys all noticed, they knew better. They had the law of God before. It's not like it came out the day before yesterday and they never got the memo. They knew. And it is so sad that consider the Philistines showed more honor to the holiness of God than Israelite. As I said before, we born-again Christians will be judged by our God more severely for what we do wrong against him than unbelievers, because we should know better. Amen? Again, in the book of James, not many should want to be teachers of the word, because they will be judged more strictly. You guys who come to the midweek service, you will be judged more strictly because you get to hear the word more. And you're thinking, oh, okay, I'm not coming anymore. Yeah, too late. All right. The Ark of Covenant represents the place where God met man. And golden cherubim were covered above the Ark of Covenant. It was a representation of the place where man met God. Sinful man could not meet God, but the Ark of Covenant was always covered, and it carried it, and when it's carried. Only time when it was opened was they put the three items inside. What are they? Manna in the golden bowl, and Ten Commandments, and step of who? Aaron's step. Yes. Where was the golden tumor and the red? In the Ark of Covenant?
No.
Separate box. Yeah. In other words, Philistine has a better sense not to put that thing inside of the Ark. But Israelite, since they opened up the little chest and there is a golden stuff, maybe there will be more stuff inside of the Ark of Covenant. Why don't we look at inside? Somebody said don't. But they did anyway. Verse 19 says, he struck, someday I'm going to have a better remote control. He struck 50,000 and 70 men of the people in King James and New King James. Manuscript, the original manuscript evidence is pretty clear that the number recorded originally in the text was 70, not 50,070. The death of the 70 men with such an incident is a still great slaughter. Basically, the Hebrew grammar can mean that out of 50,000 men, God struck 70 of them. NIV and the New Living Translation made a proper translation for this. I'm going to show it to you. This is a New Living Translation. But the Lord killed the 70 men from Beth Shemesh because they look into the ark of the Lord, and the people mourn greatly because of what the Lord had done. Here's the kicker. People of Beth Shemesh acted in irreverence to God by looking inside the ark. Instead of repenting, they chose to push God away. It is not unusual for people to blame and reject the Lord for his righteous punishment and judgment according to their sins instead of repenting. It is better for us to repent of what we did wrong than pushing God away. They acted no different than the false God serving Philistines. Actually worse. Am I making sense? Let me say this. When God tapped your breastbone from inside, Holy Spirit using your conscience, speak to you that you are doing wrong thing, don't reject him. If you've been doing wrong, stop. Stop. Turn away from sin and repent. Make it right with God. Pushing him away doesn't do any good. Only make the matter worse. Application number one. There is no such a thing as a chance or coincidence. Remember what I said. Chance is nothing more than description of a statistical probability. I'm having a problem talking today. Everything is planned and permitted by God. Am I correct? Everything is planned and permitted by God. Nothing catch God by surprise. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, as many said before. Yeah. Second thing, second application, don't mess with God. If you want to mess with Texas, that's fine, but don't mess with God. Hophni and Phinehas thought that they could win the victory by trusting God's ark itself, even though their lives are wicked. God killed them. Eli died because he did not discipline his own son, and who were dishonoring the Lord. And Philistine died because they treated Jehovah God like one of their false gods. The man of Beth-Shemesh died because they presumptuously looked into the ark. It does not pay to mess with God. Amen?